separated from their parents if Trump wins re-election and terminates temporary protected status. Finally, this reminder, tomorrow, Tuesday, November 3rd, Democracy Now! Will air a three-hour election night special from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. You can watch it live on our website at democracynow.org. We'll cover the results from the presidential election to congressional and state races, as well as ballot initiatives around the country. Democracy Now!'s Election Night special will feature interviews and perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. We'll include voices of activists, analysts, grassroots leaders, discussing how the movements on the ground will go forward following this historic election, and we'll discuss election protection. We'll discuss the voting around the country. Again, it's 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. You can watch at democracynow.org, or also stations across the country can run the Democracy Now! Special. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Libby Rainey, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tanarsena, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Massoud, and Adriana Contreras. Special thanks to Julie Crosby and Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. Save lives, wear a mask.
KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is supported by our members and by the Rural Organizing Project, featuring their 2020 Defend Democracy Pledge and 2020 Defend Democracy Toolkit on their website at rop.org.
Tune in on Election Day, November 3rd at 6 p.m. to hear KBOO's Election Night Special. We will start the evening with a live stream of Democracy Now! At 7:30, we will be tracking national, state, and local results live, as well as hearing from community groups and your favorite KBOO programmers as we break down this historic election. Again, that's KBOO's Election Night Special starting at 6 p.m. on November 3rd at 90.7 on your FM dial or online at kboo.fm.
This is KBOO Portland. It's Monday. It's 8:01. It's time for more Doc Radio with your hosts, Cecil Prescott and Celeste Carey. Keep it locked right here on your Community Connection.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You are listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio, and I am Cecil on. Where I'm calling from, it's a bright, sunny morning. It's fog, though, is it not?
No, I don't have any fog.
Oh.
Well, I have some mental fog. Does that count?
Mental. Yeah. I think the fog
yes,
is lifting. The fog is lifting.
No, it isn't. No. Okay, wait. I tell you what. Maybe the fog is lifting, but the smog abounds.
The smog,
you know,
abounds.
Yeah, the smog. And I say that both tongue in cheek and dead serious, because it's like, I've had enough. I can't take it anymore.
Had enough? Enough of what exactly?
Oh, just everything. Everything. All the different reasons you need to wear a mask. If it's not the COVID, and yeah, I did say the COVID, then it's the smoke. And if it's not the COVID and the smoke, it's the tear gas. And if it's not the COVID and the smoke and the tear gas, then I'm trying to get some earplugs because I don't want to hear one more person ask me how good I feel about Trump winning. You know, I don't want to be regaled by anybody about anybody winning. It's like I've had enough. And
but let me,
go ahead. Ask me a question.
I was going to ask you. You mentioned wearing masks and how that's, you know, getting to us. And I was wondering, you know, because we've been wearing masks for what, 8 months or so now, that I was wondering if this weekend people would wear masks for Halloween. And some people, you know, we were preparing for that for 8 months. So do you have a Halloween costume or a mask?
No, I didn't do Halloween. The closest thing I got to Halloween was watching a couple of episodes of Lovecraft Country.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody else has watched that or not. It's been one of the hottest things to talk about on TV. Because first, it's a very interesting mixture of imagination based on Lovecraftian horror, and people have heard me talk about it before. But what I find really remarkable about it is that the director and the writer of the screenplay, Misha Green, has taken Matt Ruff's book to a whole different level. And Matt Ruff's book is exciting enough because what he does is he combines horror with the real horror that Black Americans face because of Jim Crow, and he has real Lovecraftian monsters and wizardry and magic and all kinds of mayhem. And so that's what I did for Halloween, you know. But then at the same time, while I was watching that movie and TV show, one of the things that I kind of commented on to myself was the fact that it seems that not only has my appetite for horror increased, because I'm not the kind of person that normally watches certain types of horror movies, but it seems that our ideas of what horror is have morphed in some ways because of the things we're going through now. I think a lot of people have a little bit more of an appetite, no, not appetite, tolerance for horror, just because we've undergone so much, or what they're going through is a complete breakdown of anything horrible. They don't want to see anything horrible because, again, we've had enough. But that's not you know, about wearing a mask. That was just my ruminating on what I did for Halloween.
Well, as we talk about the horrors or what we are going through, certainly we cannot avoid the situation we are in, and we are in a period of crisis. You know, not only can you watch episodes or programs, but you can turn on the news and participate in what's going on in your community. And it's so important as we face the horrors of these times that people reflect and also prepare in how they are handling these days. Before we came on, there was a short announcement about the Rural Organizing Project and its this organization's decision to defend democracy coalition pledge, and that's something that many organizations in our region have stated, and individuals as we come to the conclusion, or maybe the beginning of what will happen on Election Day. And among the pledges that we will vote, we will refuse to accept election results until all the votes are counted. We will nonviolently take to the streets if a coup is attempted. If we need to, we will shut down business as usual to protect the integrity of the democratic process. And as we heard on Democracy Now, segments about attempts to make voting difficult, to turn away voters at election places, no matter how far spread out they might be, and the attempts to not count votes that have been submitted via the elections. We are in times of unknown charter territory about what will happen, and I'm wondering, how are people preparing for this week, and is whether or not how people are weathering, just generally, how people are weathering, whether or not you are in a place where you feel okay, and whether or not we are taking care of ourselves. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO with Celeste and I. Yeah, Portland.
And, well, that I only did that because that's our official call.
Yes.
That's our official ID, you know, and so I always remember the third of Portland.
Right.
But anyway, as Cecil was saying, you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community connection, KBOO Portland. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. And in addition to, you know, your plans for the election night and whether or not you're going to be one of the volunteers out here keeping an eye on democracy's process, or if you're going to kind of hole up and see how things are going and you know, basically try to stay safe, whatever that is these days, or not, you know, we're curious as to what your plans are. And I also have some less heavy questions to ask, just in case your brain is railing and rolling and refusing to participate in some of the elements of the last days before, or the last hours, actually, before we kick into the election.
Well, I was wondering if you can hold on to that, because we've had Edie on the phone, and she might have something to say to us.
Okay. Well, good morning, Edie.
Good morning. Can you hear me well?
Yes, we can hear you.
I'm going to encourage folks to still have the hope and not depend only on elections, but all the other ways in which we can work together for the greater good. I'm going to be delivering ballots for POC who are terrified of showing up at the ballot drop boxes. I'm going to be roaming with my street medic supplies and on the street medic loop to be providing care. And I'm wanting us also to be alert, starting with KBOO, and then demand that we have all the media whenever there is a killing, that we have like a little media checkbox, a little grid that people can see, and you kind of check it off in this case too. So we see a pattern and we can take responsibility for acting on that. The killer tries to hide identity, evidence, intimidate, silence witnesses, destroy evidence or plant evidence and redirect it. Objectifies and vilifies the crime victim. And then if it is black on white,
if it's black on black, if it's white on black, if it's cop on white, cop on black. Some of the same patterns that are following, and kind of checklist, what is the media doing? And if they're seeing that, they're not maybe necessarily fooled. For example, with Kevin Peterson Jr., 21-year-old sweetie, and father, this little girl, not even 1 year old yet, who was murdered by the Clark County Sheriff's, and his body was left for 12 hours out on the road as a visual to terrorize and traumatize, just as the lynchings and brutalized bodies left in storefront windows. And we need to unite and protect and honor life. I'm going to be spending a lot of time deep in prayer, but also in political action, boots on the ground. And I'm going to be giving free meals that I prepare from my organic garden to some young Black leaders. Keep up the hope. There's so many ways in which we can demand that our media, that our so-called law enforcement, and our electeds do their jobs as we unite to do a better job.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Now, I assume you're not going to be out there by yourself.
When I pick up the ballots, it'll be in my car, and I'll, you know, give them my text information and send them a text, a photograph that I've delivered at the right place, and give them my ID so they know I'm not a ballot thief. As a medic, I always go with a group of well-trained, trustworthy medics. As someone who's protecting intersections from car ramming, drive-by shooting, hit-and-run drivers, I'm under the leadership of volunteers who are protecting people through that.
Okay, good. Because this is not an activity that's for solo effort. You know, you got to have your posse with you to make sure that you have backup and they don't see you as vulnerable. So good news. Okay. Well, thank you for your efforts. I applaud you. I applaud your energy and, you know, the group's innovation in terms of getting out and providing quick medical care for anyone who might be injured or traumatized in this season. I don't even know what to call it. I don't know what to call it, season, era. I don't want to give it too much credence as a bad period of time, but I mean, it is what it is. But thank you very much for your efforts.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio. Edie just shared with us some of their actions and how Edie will respond and continues to respond, serving as a medic and helping people vote, reminding us also of how people continue to live in terror and lifting up the name of Kevin Peterson, 21-year-old who was shot and killed by Clark County Sheriff's. This is More Talk Radio. Our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. Oh, I had one of those mental freeze. But you know who did not have a mental freeze is James, who would like to share this morning. Good morning, James.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
So,
like most of America, I'm tired.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I think the one thing that we need to remember in this time, you know, I see a lot of posts where people say, well, you know, our ancestors died for our right to vote. And I really don't, I think that they died because for voting, you know, I think they died for freedom. And if they thought voting would provide us freedom. So I think if we haven't realized yet after 60, 70 years, after the Civil Rights Act, after, you know, everything that we've been through as black and brown people, that voting really isn't, it's not the only answer. I guess I'm just frustrated because, you know, especially when it comes to, you know, even some of my white liberal friends that I've had to speak to, they don't, you know, I feel like they're calling for unity calling for unity without calling for, like, recognition or reconciliation of the past. And I see a lot of that. I think that's what's really frustrating about this election, because, like, how many elections have we had where the technology that surrounds us has changed, but our overall situation hasn't changed? I mean, we at various points, we've all been made paper citizens, but, you know, culturally, we've never been treated as citizens, really, you know? And I just, you know, I told everybody this is my last year as a Democrat. You know, I'm focusing on, I'm not, this is the last Democratic process I'm going to be involved in, because, you know, I have a hard time reconciling the fact that, you know, it's like they said, we can't, Malcolm X, you know, we can't vote our way out of oppression. And I feel like there's a lot of folks who've made a lot of money acquiescing to the political system that we have, but ultimately it has not changed our condition. And I just, you know, Biden has proven, you know, Biden, the only reason why he looks so good is because Trump is so terrible. I mean, he's responsible for all of the neoliberal policies that have destroyed the black and brown communities. You know, the omnibus crime bill, you know, he helped with drafting NAFTA. He helped with, you know, he was the one who drafted the education bill that keeps students locked into their student debt. But now he's saying he wants to do debt relief. I feel like it's the arsonist trying to tell you he can put out the fire. And
so what are some of the things you do when you say that ancestors lived and struggled for freedom, and you mentioned that the electoral process is only one means, one tool. What are some of the tools that you are using for freedom, for the freedom struggle?
Community organization, education on politics that have nothing to do with capitalism, specifically communist, socialist, you know, studying the revolutions of other countries who've broken free from capitalist imperialism, you know, looking at people who have been, you know, there's so many people in our history who have been reviled as enemies of freedom, aka America, but, you know, literally their only crime was wanting to protect their natural resources from exploitation. Mm-hmm. And you know, and getting people educated on this, you know, we have a La Raza Unida Party, you know, a revolutionary organization here in Oregon that's dedicated to the education of Chicanos on their history and how it pertains to our struggle. But, you know, we also have solidarity with other oppressed communities, and really just putting that on the forefront that, you know, we, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, they were asking, how come they, you know, my friend Beverly was asking, how come they gave black folks the right to vote in 1968 if they were just going to work to repeal it? And, you know, and it's there's 100 days of rioting after MLK was assassinated. You know, it was, they wanted to prevent insurrection, you know, mm-hmm. or even like black reconstruction. There was a huge liberation army that rose up in the South when the Southern and Northern bourgeoisie were fighting each other over the remainder of the settler colony and the African colony, and they gave them black reconstruction so they wouldn't ask for sovereignty. It was like a form of franchise colonialism to be able to quell their revolutionary spirit. And I just, you know, and you could argue that at that time, black folks had way more power over their own agencies than, you know, most black and brown folks do now under the current regime that we have. Some of the stuff that happened under Reconstruction was amazing, but it lived in such contradiction to the way that, you know, they wanted us all to be. I just have such a hard time with this. And I don't want to, you know, and in my heart of hearts, I want to believe that we can get out, you know, but I just, you know, especially with, you see the ramping up of small pockets of violence right now from Trump supporters. I mean, there's a whole host of people who want that return to the past, you know, this whole reactionary movement where they're instead of focusing their legitimate rage on the people responsible, they would rather go into our communities, show up at our events, and terrorize us. We're not allowed to be angry.
Well, it's not that we're not allowed to be angry, it's that our anger is not respected.
So it's just, I just have a hard time trying to be a part of this voting process when literally, you know, any concession made by the powers that be has really only been to share more equally the spoils of empire, whereas all of the rest of us have pretty much either gotten left out or been demonized for the problems.
Let me say this, you know, because there's lots of times when I kind of feel like you do, like, what is the point? But one of the things that I've been hearing lately, and I have to agree with, you know, at least in part, is that if voting was not important, if it as an activity was not significant, there wouldn't be so much activity to discourage it.
I can agree with that partially as well.
Yeah, and so to a degree, voting remains important. And then being politically active in this system remains important. I want to read you just a few lines of an article that I saw in the news. U.S. Supreme Court on Monday sided with a former guest on More Talk Radio, Black Lives Matter activist DeRay McKesson, and his effort to avoid a lawsuit filed by a Louisiana police officer who was injured during 2016 protests, when people rose up to protest the killing of a black man. Now, for this to have happened is one of those rare times when the whole political / judicial system / court of law is working for us. And those few moments have to count. You have to push, and you have to work hard to get those few wins. And if we didn't stay engaged in the system such as it is, we wouldn't even have these wins, you know.
Well, I'm not suggesting that we.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me finish. McKesson had argued that the rights of freedom of speech and assembly under the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment should shield him from the lawsuit that accused him of negligence for leading the protests. The lower court didn't resolve that issue, but he took it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and he got a narrow margin win on that. So it has to go back down to the lower courts, and that counts for something. You know, we may have to have a revolution to bring about the changes we need, just like we had to have a revolution to get this first constitution, but that means that we have to stay engaged to some degree with the system as it is.
Well, I can agree with that to an extent. I mean, I'm not saying we completely get disengaged, but what I'm saying is that we stop playing on the terms of the people who are oppressing us. I mean, I'm not saying that that win isn't significant, but what I'm saying is that, you know, that is, especially at the route that the things are going with the Supreme Court, you know, I mean, there's got to be something higher that doesn't, because, I mean, like I said, we're not, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not significant, but what I am saying is that that's, I mean, almost, I mean, it's almost anecdotal. It's so close to anecdotal. And that, like,
well, in this system and in this country, we're pretty much anecdotal, you know, except
absolutely.
When it comes for setting the tone for either ways to make money or ways for the culture to express itself. But I appreciate your conversation, but I wanna open the line to encourage other people to talk. Cecil, did you have anything you wanted to say before we let James go?
I appreciate your passion and also
yes.
to recognize that, as you stated, that the ancestors fought for freedom, and it's a continued struggle. Struggle on, and as the freedom fighters in Mozambique said, a luta continua, the struggle continues. Thank you so much, James.
You know, thank you, James, and don't give up. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community connection, KBOO Portland. I want to thank everybody who has participated in our drive. We haven't counted up how many new members we have yet, but we want to encourage you, if you have not yet become a member of KBOO, you don't have to wait for the drive. We want you to join the moment the spirit hits you. And you can do so by going to our website, which is www.kboo.fm, and you can click donate, and that will help you become a member and a supporter of your community connection, KBOO Portland. The number is 503-231-8187. And I want to thank James once again for reminding us that this battle requires us to look at some of the more subtle aspects of what the struggle entails, and to not be seduced by temporary wins and gains, or be seduced by the illusion of inclusion and illusion of full participation. And I do appreciate what he was saying in terms of, you know, we got to remember that in many ways the game is still rigged, because what our actual participation is in being a consumer more than anything, you know, or being a product ourselves, our labor being a product or for the company, for the company. I wonder if that was a Freudian slip for the country itself. But
like that. I like that Freudian slip for the company. I think it is. It is a corporation.
Yes,
James
it
is.
Is
on the phone.
All right. Good morning.
No, not James. Corey. Corey's on the phone. Good morning.
Oh, hey.
Hello. Hey, good morning.
Hello.
How are you guys?
How are you?
Pretty good. I enjoyed the conversation. I really liked that last caller. He brought some pretty good points. One point, well, I don't know if he brought up this point, but I'm looking at these people on the other side, and you could guess what side I'm on, and I'm trying to figure mm-hmm. out, well, what do they want? Do they want to re-enslave me? Like, how is that going to look? I ain't working. So I'm trying to say, what exactly do you want if you don't want us to be fully integrated, you know, in this society? Then how do you want that to look? So my only, you know, what I think is that it's psychological. like there are certain groups of people that want to always be seen as better than other groups. But what's happened is that you can quantify Black women are the most educated group of people in America right now. You cannot sit here and tell me that you're better than me, you know, if you live by those metrics anymore because of the things I've done. So that right there has caused this sort of cognitive dissonance. And so, and you mentioned America, and people are probably sick of ad nauseum, sick of me. We can cross the border next week, so we're finally crossing the border. I have two friends that just moved to Ghana. I still don't think that the history of Black African Americans in particular is meant to be here. And I say that not to be like, I know you're a veteran, Celeste, I'm a veteran as well. My grandfather served in World War II, et cetera, et cetera. So my family has still blood for this country. But I sit back and I observe in a very sort of macro way, well, what, you know, this fight, what am I fighting for? Like, do I really love this country that much to where I want to stay here? And the answer for me has been no. Now, I quite understand that financially it might be different for all Black folks. I get that. But I think if you look at this in a bigger picture, well, you know, I have a friend that just moved to Ghana. I have a friend that lives in Turkey. Still globally, they told me, you know, yeah, Corey, it's different over here. We don't have to worry about getting shot by cops, but there is still racism. So I still believe ultimately there needs to be some sort of Blacksit, not Blexit, some sort of Blacksit. unless this country, because then once we leave, and then okay, and then you, because see, if we leave, they're gonna miss us, and then you know you're gonna want us back. And then if we leave, and then okay, now what have you done to, you know, it's like a relationship. Like I broke up with you, now you want me back. Okay, what have you done? Yeah, have you made some changes? Because if you haven't, I'm gonna stay over here. So like I said, that caller hit on some pretty salient points. But ultimately, even after what happens tomorrow, you know, I don't have a lot of I have faith in the electorate. I don't have faith in that things are going to be handled in a proper way. I think that this person who's the president is already gearing up for a legal fight. I think it might still come down to the Supreme. I think this person is going to do everything in his power to hold on to power. And I don't have faith in certain people in Congress or certain people in the Senate to do things properly. I just don't have faith in that.
I agree with you there. And it's sad that we have to go to that, you know, perspective. It is very sad because what it's saying is all of our hard work has been, you know, repelled and rebuked. But I, you know, come what may, I'm going to be here because I figure I'm not in the mood for the racism from another country and the stress of having to navigate that cultural environment, plus being threatened by racism. I'm not.
No, I totally understand. I'm at the age now where I'm like, you know, I'm old enough to where I can do this and make a good run, and whatever happens, happens. But I'm also a fighter. Like you said, I fought for this country, and I guess that's another reason why I'm so disappointed, because I see, like, this is what, you know, this is what I spent time in Afghanistan for. Like, no, this is ridiculous. So, and to see this sort of mix of uber patriotism, all these people with the flags and the, like, you have not stepped one foot in the boot camp, but it's cool. I still find that to be odd, you know. But,
I hear you.
But thank you guys. I appreciate listening to you.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you so much. For calling and sharing your wisdom, Corey. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station on KBOO Portland. Is that correct, Celeste?
Yes, indeed. Okay. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. So, you know, this is almost like, yeah, we have a topic, but I understand people are, you know, just wanting to get some last minute vents out, you know, before we engage the enemy. Oh gosh. You know, I keep thinking about some of the funnier quips that I have read about this time, and one of them being think about it, you know, in
20 to 30 years, this country, actually the whole world, but this country will be run by a bunch of people who were homeschooled by day drinkers. And when I read that, I just cracked up. And I'm thinking, okay, so what will these homeschooled people be doing with the mess that Trump is going to leave them? You know, the Trump who stole democracy, to do a riff on the Grinch who stole Christmas. You know, what are they going to do with this? Should he win or steal a second term? And, you know, I like I said, I don't even know how to process it. So I'm kind of like in a wait and see mode. I can't think of any other way to describe it.
Well, let's see what Cassandra has to say this morning. Maybe she can help us. Good morning, Cassandra.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I wish I could help, but I'm sad to say what I have to say kind of takes what James and your last caller said a little bit further.
Well, go ahead.
I think, and oh, by the way, just side note, funny that you said what you just said. I'm homeschooling my 17-year-old. and yes, I think I'm not a day drinker. I'm still at night, but I think I fall into that category. But I actually think he's getting a better education from me. I have a history degree and bioanthropology. So I love science. So I think he's actually, from what I've now found out about his previous education, he's getting a better one with me. But be that as it may, that's not why I called. I think what we need to start adjusting our mindset to is that, and I don't mean to use this term lightly, but we are in a war. But the war is against ignorance, the war is against hatred, and the war is going to be ongoing because the system is broken. The attitudes they are intentionally trying to bury information. So the attitudes are extremist, and whether, you know, in the sense that it's all or nothing for those who are filled with this hate. At this point, we truly are sadly in a war because it doesn't matter. And I'm voted for Biden, but it doesn't matter if he wins. He is a horrible choice. But, you know, we have to pick our battles as this war goes on. And the first one is get Trump out. But I don't for a second believe that man, if I can call him that, that creature, that cancerous testicle, is going to leave voluntarily. He will not. He is going to fight tooth and nail, and they're going to use every dirty trick they have. And we have to, as people of good conscience, we have to be prepared to put more than our money and anything else where our mouth is. We have to be prepared to go to the streets. Because it's going to take this nation rising up and saying enough is enough, and it's going to take bloodshed, sadly, not on our side, but because they're going to bring it. It's not that we're starting the fight, but we're going to have to finish it.
That's true. They have already
because
started
they're not,
it. I mean...
Yes, they have started it for, honestly, centuries, but in the last decades, this has become more and more and more, and we've been the frog in the water slowly being roasted. Well, now we're feeling the flames, and it's time to do something about it. And
yes,
for those who, for whatever reason, want to bury their heads in the sand and don't want to see what's real, it's going to be a horrible wake-up call. But it's coming, and we need to just not think that tomorrow is going to change anything, or a week from now, or January 20th, 21st. This is not going to be the end all. This is the beginning. And if we want to see this world saved, because this, right now, the issues are all of them are paramount. All of them are equally important, sadly.
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter, absolutely. But our environment, the earth on which we stand, is now being threatened not like in distant future, our lifetime. And those who hold the power are going to kill us all unless we fight back and stand up. And we need to gear ourselves mentally for this challenge. And that's all I have to say. And I am sorry it's not more optimistic. What I am optimistic about is I hear more and more people saying something to this effect. And so I think people are bracing themselves for what is to come.
Yes.
That is true. And so many ways. I mean, not just physically, but spiritually and mentally and emotionally. People are braced. And one of the things that bothers me about that is, you know, when you're in a car accident, they tell you the worst thing you should do is brace and stiffen yourself. And what I would like people to do is to think about how you actually go into a battle. And you must relax. You must relax and, you know, slow your breathing and engage your mind, everything fully. And I say that as a person who used to participate in the martial arts and, you know, hand-to-hand combat training. And you can't go in there stiff. You got to have your mind and your body and your senses alert but relaxed. And I appreciate, you know, the fact that you are homeschooling your youngster and you're a history major. And I think it's really important that we not forget our history has been an entire battle since we got dragged over here. And actually, even in the getting dragged, that was a battle. it's ironic that you could get beat up for trying to save yourself. It's ironic that you could be jailed for self-defense against deadly force. But, you know, that's what it is. And it's ironic that one of the things that McKesson is going through is the fact that we're protesting how our lives matter and we don't need to be killed by the police. And the police officer turns around and tries to flip the script, so to speak, and say, well, you trying to protect yourself against being killed and protested hurt me. And I want some money from you. It's like, wow. That's intense. And you wonder why black people aren't crazy. You know, for many of us, it's but for the grace of God that we don't have a gun and we're out shooting people who have hurt and abused us. But, you know, for me, I'll say, well, it's my spiritual moorings to keep me from doing it. Although every now and then I have had to tell some of my white colleagues who leaned in a little too much on my personal and mental space. I said, you know, you have to back off now. Be thankful. Mm-hmm. You don't have to believe what I believe, but be thankful that I believe in God, because that's what kept me from going out here and shooting people that abuse me.
Amazing.
So thank you for your call, Cassandra, you know, and articulating the same thing, basically, that James and Corey have said, you know, that this country only loves us for our bodies and what our bodies can produce for them and then fight to be able to consume. You know, we can't even buy the goods we produce. You know, we're not even allowed to buy some of them because, you know, well, let me use this example from the Jim Crow era. Black people were not allowed in some places to buy and eat vanilla ice cream. Now, that's kind of picayune. You know, I guess that pristine whiteness of vanilla ice cream, and doesn't vanilla come from Madagascar? I mean, among other places now, but back in the day, you know, but they couldn't eat it. And, you know, but I'm sure a lot of them worked either harvesting the vanilla or, you know,
some other thing that was necessary to make that vanilla ice cream a product. But that's what it is, you know. That's what it is, and this is the America that some of us are saying, you know what, I'm not going nowhere. You're going to have to endure me, because I'm not going anywhere.
Well, thank you, Celeste. I have a question, but first let's ask John, I believe, is on the line and has.
Good morning, John.
Hello. Since we're on history, everybody would probably doesn't know about red states, blue states, how the whole origin happened. You could go back to the beginning of the country when the southern colonies refused to participate in the independence movement because there were a lot of abolitionists up in New England. So they compromised by you can keep your darkies, all right? So fast forward to about 30-some-odd years later, there was a thing that, a law that was put into Congress that passed, and it was called the Missouri Compromise of 1820. And this is where your red states and blue states foundation originated. This is where they said, okay, each state that comes into the Union, one will have to be slave, other one would have to be free. So this went on. The little bit of history back then, Thomas Jefferson was still alive in 1820. He just said, well, there goes the farm. And there was another little segue to the whole thing. 6 years later, Jefferson dies, and so does his nemesis, John Adams, both in 1826 on July 4th, 1826. So that's kind of interesting. But I was just talking about when people want to know the origins of blue states, of red states, the Compromise of 1820.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I just a little segue about how this all started, the muck started, 200 years ago, exactly. So, yeah,
well,
I know, it's kind of weird.
It started a little earlier than that because, you know, they had to plan all this, and when they got
signed and delivered, you know.
Yeah.
So that's all. I'm just saying that, I mean, you know, all these anniversaries, like we had the 75th anniversary of World War II, but then you have this, I mean, it's just kind of strange how this whole decade's coming out and playing out, and it's just the beginning. But anyway, that's all. That's my 2 cents worth.
Well, thank you for calling and reminding us.
Thank you so much, and thank you for that history lesson about our country. You know, before we depart, you mentioned earlier reminding people to become members of KBOO. And, you know, if you are a member, one of the things you have an opportunity is to vote for KBOO board members. And someone emailed me about my suggestions about who should I vote for KBOO board members, or who are they?
Well, we got candidates for them that aired. It was recorded, I think, last Sunday, and I think it might air one more time before the election, which is Saturday, November 7th.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you voted in the U.S. elections, you also, if you're a member, you can continue by making democracy work by voting in the KBOO Board of Directors election. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, vote for the person you think is most qualified to handle the job. KBOO is, let me see now, how old are we? 52 years old. Yeah.
Wow.
All people who got the skills and the energy and the stick-to-itness to take us to a new set of 52 years. Yeah.
Right.
But, well, let's see. It's 8:52, and I guess we've got time if there is one more call. We got anybody else in the deck?
No one online right now, but
You have time to give us a call, and that number, Celeste, is
503-231-8187. And we've just been kind of talking about everything related to the election and staying put should Trump win, or leaving should Trump win, you know. And I keep saying win, but I'm just going to come clean. I'm going to say it the way I feel it, you know, play it as I see it. It should steal the election. And as Edie had mentioned at the very beginning, we have to be vigilant, and we have to protest if we see any irregularities. And I'm trusting that we are taking the time to learn what should occur at the election for the election. And I want to encourage people to find out what they can do to preserve our democracy at the Rural Organizing Project. You mentioned that at the beginning of the show. Do you know their URL?
Probably ROP.org.
Or you could just do a search on Rural Organizing Project, and it'll should come up. Yeah. I guess I could wake my computer up and make it look for it. It's not doing anything.
It is ROP.org. But a number of community organizations have signed on to that and are conscious that, certainly as one of our callers mentioned, democracy or elections is not the end all of the democratic process, and we must continue on. We have a few seconds left, so let's see if Dennis can share some of their thoughts. Good morning, Dennis.
Okay, thank you. Last Friday, I received a call asking me to increase my membership. I have a small sustaining membership, but I appreciate that. I don't know where you got the amount that I have, but it's all right. I just can't do it at this time. I'm thinking about that, really. And I appreciate your call, the effort, I wish I could donate more, but I'm a poor person, and I'm very old, and I appreciate your program and everything about what's going on there at KBOO. Okay.
Well, can I say this to you? First, I want to say thank you. You know, what you give, even though it may not seem like a lot to you, is a lot to us. You know, everybody's gift shows that the station is important to them. And yeah. And I appreciate that as the rest of the staff and the people who are listening. And then if you've given and you're at your financial ability, ask your friends, do they listen to KBOO? Do they like KBOO? Do they love to hate KBOO? You know, and ask them to support it. You know, that's one way that you can increase your contribution, by getting somebody else to join. And sometimes we forget about that. But I so thank you so much for your contribution, Dennis. Thank you.
Oh, I will do what you said. I'll ask some friends. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
You too.
Thank you.
I think that's a great way to wrap up the show.
Yeah. Thank all of you who listen and call, Edie and James and Corey and Cassandra and John. And thank you, Dennis, for concluding our program by, and we affirm and thank you for being a faithful member of the KBOO family. This is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil with the...
I am Celeste.
The one and only Celeste. And those of you who are listening live on Monday, the 2nd of November, stay tuned for the Old Mo Variety Hour. All of us, stay safe.
in these days that are coming ahead. A luta continua, the struggle continues, so don't give up the fight or the struggle, and remember, as we were reminded early on by James, that those who came before us struggled not for merely the opportunity to vote, but more importantly, for freedom. And
that's right.
Continues to remain our goal, and we will answer to our descendants who will look upon us as their ancestors and say, what did you do? Try to stay safe. It's going to be some crazy days ahead. And also, I want to remember and call out his name, Kevin Peterson Jr.
Yes. And listen to Kay Boo. Well, tomorrow we will have election, especially local races. We'll have the coverage live here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. We'll hear you next week.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
On behalf of the entire KBOO community, we'd like to offer our deepest and sincerest thanks for your